The Takeaway is supported by the Rockefeller Foundation, whose transportation initiative is promoting equitable and sustainable development in communities across the country. More at rockfound.org. You're listening to The Takeaway from WNYC and PRI Public Radio International in collaboration with the BBC World Service, The New York Times, and WGBH Radio Boston.
So to Iraq again. We've heard it all in Iraq, haven't we? I mean, there was shock and awe. Remember that at the beginning? There was that early and, as it turned out, premature and politically catastrophic announcement of an end to major combat operations. Then many years later, a very different president announced a more real but not complete end to combat operations. Then we got a real withdrawal of forces. And finally, last week, the announcement of that complete pullout by the end of the year, with the exception of a force remaining to guard some U.S. facilities, including the embassy in Baghdad. Through all that, through all those 8 years, the conflict in Iraq has changed the definition of what it means to be a soldier in the U.S. military, what it means to be a reservist. More reservists were used in combat and support roles in this conflict than ever before in U.S. history. Are we finally at mission accomplished in Iraq? I'm not going to put that question to our next two guests. I'm actually more interested in the change of roles of service people in Iraq over the last 8 years. Joining us once again on the program is Rosanna Cambrone, whose son, Army Sergeant Arturo Cambrone, is currently on his third tour in Iraq. Rosanna, good morning.
Good morning.
The fact that your son is on his third tour in Iraq is part of the change that this whole conflict has wrought on families, correct?
Yes, it is.
How would you say the role of the U.S. military, of Army soldiers, has changed over the course of this war?
I think we've incurred a great many people who are going to need a lot of help to really end the war for them, not just bringing them home, but we need to find the ways to end the war for them because it has been a very traumatic experience. My son has only done three tours, but there are people's children who have done six and seven and even eight tours.
Unbelievable. John Kamen also joins us. He was in the Army when he was deployed with the Louisiana National Guard back in March of 2010. He got back at the end of December of last year. John, good morning.
Good morning.
What rank are you, sir?
I'm a specialist.
Specialist. So, specialist, how would you say the reservist experience has changed over the course of this war?
Honestly, the experience for the reservist mirrors, to me, the experience of active duty in terms of the one constant we have being changed. When I enlisted in the Army, I enlisted as what is a 13 Bravo, which is a mission occupation specialty for field artillery. Now, right when we graduated, we were informed that, you know what, there really isn't much artillery left in Iraq, so you guys are probably going to be doing infantry work. And then when we got to Iraq for my first tour in 2007, we learned, you know, we don't really want you guys doing infantry anymore. You're going to be doing police training. And based on what happened in Iraq, the various stages we went through, the military had to change and had to adjust to those. So in a sense, we almost became diplomats that had to take in mind what is going on over there, look at the scene, assess the situation, and adjust accordingly.
You had to be able to do everything.
Absolutely.
You know, let me ask you, Rosanna Cambrone, your son is completing his third tour in Iraq, and I understand you're actually going to get him home perhaps months earlier than was originally expected. You know, we just spoke with a major general who thanked Americans, who thanked our listeners for their support of the troops. At the same time, we're getting a lot of listeners calling in saying the support of the troops needs to become greater, echoing what you say, that we need to actually put some programs, healthcare initiatives into place to make the support of the troops something that's more than just emotional, but something tangible. Do you agree with that?
Yes, I do very much so. I think that that's exactly what is needed. I think the nation needs to take responsibility for sending our children to out to war and making sure that they have the services they need. And it's a variety of services they're going to need from, trauma therapy and all of those kinds of things to jobs, to making sure that they, when they come home, they're able to get the jobs that they need to continue to sustain their families and their livelihood. Most of all, to be able to live, you know, here in this country in peace.
Rosanna Cambrone's son, Army Sergeant Arturo Cambrone, is currently on his third tour in Iraq. John Kamen, Army Reservist Specialist John Kamen, what do you think people will say 10 years from now and when it comes up in conversation that you actually served in that Iraq war back there in the first decade of the 21st century? What do you think people's reaction will be?
Well, that's a good question. To be honest, I'm not sure what people are going to think. I hope that it's going to be that we did try to accomplish something good. And what I tell the general public right now is to not let the sacrifices of the men and women that we've given over there be in vain, because the veterans coming back still have a lot to give. And kind of in many senses, the struggle still continues, and the lessons that we learned over there are going to manifest themselves further once we're back at home with the skill sets that we learned.
Is one of those lessons, Specialist Kamen, that we not go into a country like Iraq in the way that we did again?
Honestly, that's there's a saying in the military that some questions are just above your pay grade. And regarding the politics of how we went in there, you know, that really wasn't a question that we were faced with much over there. It's just we were presented with a circumstance, and very quickly, whether one was a Republican, a Democrat, a hawk, or even a dove, those kind of questions quickly faded when we realized kind of the problems that were there and what we tried to do to make sure that we could do our best to make sure that we alleviated those problems.
That's Specialist John Kamen, who's a reservist from the Louisiana National Guard. Rosanna Cambron, how do you think your Army Sergeant Arturo Cambron will remember his experience in Iraq, say, 10 years from now?
I would hope that he, by then, has put it just as a chapter in his life and has been able to move forward. I really couldn't exactly say, but that would be my hope, is that it just becomes a chapter and it doesn't be the thing that defines him for the rest of his life and keeps him from moving forward and finding happiness.
Rosanna, I'm reading sort of the tone of your voice. It sounds to me, and tell me if I'm wrong, that you believe your son has some healing to do.
Most definitely. I think anyone who has seen combat has healing to do. It's a very traumatic experience.
And what is the, besides your family, what is the help that he has when he arrives home?
There are several programs, but I think they need to be tightened up. I think they need to be much more readily made available to them and free of cost. And they have to be some really solid professional services that are that vary in making sure that it's what they actually need, because it's not the same for everyone.
Is one of the first things out of your mouth when he gets home, Army Sergeant Arturo Cambron, no more war now, you're staying here?
No, the first thing that will come out is I love you and I miss you and a just big hug.
Aww. All right. Rosanna Cambron, thanks so much. And we thank you for your service and sacrifice. Her son is Army Sergeant Arturo Cambron, currently on his third tour in Iraq. He'll be home for the holidays. John Kamen was deployed with the Louisiana National Guard in March of 2010. He came home back in December. Thanks to both of you.
Thank you.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing. Or
politics.
Country music.
Hockey.
Sex. Of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.